This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Fast Tracks Recording Studio. Check them out at fasttrackslow.com. That's Fast Tracks with an X, slow.com. And also, find them on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud.
Welcome to another episode of The Slow Good Life. James Davis here in the Slow Talk Podcasting Studio with Craig Marshall.
Ready to do it to it for another edition of The Slow Good Life Podcast.
Yeah.
We got a recording artist in the house today with Brent from Fast Track Recording Studio. It's Ciara Brooke.
That's right. Ciara, welcome to Slow Talk Studios.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And The Slow Good Life.
Yeah.
Brent, welcome.
Yep, thanks for having us, for sure. I've been waiting to get on this thing. Huh?
Waiting to get on it. He was in line, folks, number 23. We bumped him up.
There we go.
And now, Fast Tracks Recording Studio, San Luis Obispo, is that right?
Yep,
right. And what's the website?
It's www.fasttracks, with an X, S-L-O, so fasttraxslo.com.
That's pretty easy to remember, man. Slow Talk and Fast Tracks. We've often joked about how cool that is to get them together.
Yep.
And Ciara Brooke. Ciara, how do you spell your first name?
C-I-A-R-A B-R-O-O-K-E.
And website, please.
www.ciarabrooke.com.
That makes it all too easy. Now,
yeah.
If I were to go digging around on social media, would I find you, Brett and Brooke?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the places.
All the usual suspects.
Yeah, at Ciara Brooke Music is where you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Just search Ciara Brooke. I'll come up. So,
Now, this is crazy because San Luis Obispo intersects right here with Brett at Fast Tracks, who I've known for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Incredible local guy, uber talented, not
Thank
flattery,
you.
The truth.
Thank you.
And then very involved in seeing artists develop. Brooke, how did you or how did you find out about Ciara? How did that happen?
So she found me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she was looking for a studio to record, you know, her album Diva Diaries, which is out.
Now, wait a minute. Looking for a studio to record. You're from Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
How did you look far and yonder? That's kind of crazy.
So we have a mutual friend back home in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to this guy, Tim Munez, about I have this album I want to record. I'm looking for a producer. And he was like, I know someone, the perfect person. So I FaceTimed him a couple times, and it was just like a good fit. So
you made tracks, pardon the pun, to come out here to San Luis Obispo.
Yep.
Yeah. So I went to music production school at the Academy of Contemporary Music in OKC. So I was able to build my own tracks and stuff, like the beats and all of the elements. And then we brought it all to Brent, recorded the main vocal, and he mixed it all and made it sound, you know, way better.
Now, some of the folks listening to the podcast may not know how much work that you did before you went to the recording guy.
Yeah.
And so a little light about that school that you went to, because there's somebody, I think, somewhat famous that's involved in helping to fund that school and get it going.
Yeah. So the president of the school, Scott Booker, he is, I believe, the manager of the Flaming Lips. Mm. So the Flaming Lips are really big in OKC and Oklahoma as a whole. And so, like, they're a big influence on the school. And so all of the instructors, everybody who works there is, like, currently involved in the music industry, which is really awesome because, like, they're up to date. Like, they're teaching, but they're also working in the industry
at
the same time. So it's they're just like really inspiring instructors to have. But basically, I went into audio school, music production school, not knowing anything. I didn't know the difference between an instrument cable and an XLR cable. So I knew nothing. And now, you know, coming out of it, like, I can set up and run my own sound. I'm able to build my own tracks, record my own backup vocals and all the things. And then we bring it to Brent and he makes it just
gets the finish
that much
Friday.
Better because he's like just really good at that part of it, you know.
It's
so yeah.
It's nice to have like the idea kind of created by the time it gets to me. It's almost I have Sierra's
template,
basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I'm not really guessing too much as to like what direction like we're heading. Mm-hmm. So that's nice.
Yeah.
So you're from Tonkawa?
Tonkawa.
Tonkawa. Tonkawa. Okay. Yes. All right. Now, you've been singing since you were a little girl, right?
Yeah.
How old were you when you first started?
I think I sang my first solo in church when I was 3.
Wow.
So, yeah, I sang. My great-grandma Weber played piano for me, and I sang. I don't remember the song. My mom could probably tell you which one it was, but...
I'm sure she could.
Let's get mom on the line right now and ask her. She will be surprised. Did you, after you sang for the first time, this is the question that everybody's wanting to know. Did you take up an offering?
Oh, I don't know.
We're messing with you. So that background of having the church music, because church music includes singing, includes instrumentation. A lot of people get to try out new songs. That's what you grew up with.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up singing specials in church and stuff. But I also, my parents put me in pageants at a really young age, like 4 or 5. And so that's really where I learned how to perform and entertain an audience, because they always put me in pageants where there was a talent competition. So that's where I learned how to, you know, put on a show, was through those. And that's kind of combining that with like my passion for singing and for music is kind of what led me to pop music. Because it's kind of the whole thing, you know. It's
Who would you cite some of your major influences as, like, growing up? I mean, when you were a little girl and then coming up, I mean, who impacted you?
Well, I wanted to be Britney Spears. Okay. So.
Number one.
All of the pop divas.
I met Britney once.
Oh my gosh, really? One time.
Oops, yeah. I did it again.
Yeah. Mango Tango concert for Kiss FM backstage.
Here we go.
Yeah.
The stories.
Yeah. So, I can remember listening... watching, you know, the music videos, Britney Spears growing up, and being like, that's what I want to do.
Me too.
Yeah.
You wanted to be Britney Spears, huh, Brett?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, now that you got that out.
Yeah, my good friends thought that I wanted to be Eddie Van Halen, but secretly deep down.
All right. You know? I knew there was a connection here.
Yeah. So, Britney, you know, Christina Aguilera, Kelly Clarkson when she won American Idol, a big Kelly fan. I just think, like, female pop stars, I just really aspired to be that and, like, was like, that's what I want to do. Like, I love to sing. I love to perform. I love to put on shows. And so, like, that was really my dream growing up.
When you went to the pageants and would perform, did you sing?
Yes.
Or also accompany that with a guitar? Did the guitar come a bit later?
I play keys.
Keys. Well, straighten that out right up front here.
Right.
So I didn't start playing keys until, like, in high school.
Okay.
So I would do, like, karaoke tracks, and I would sing and dance. So I've been in dance lessons from, like, 4 years old to 18 years old. I took dance lessons. So dance has been a big part of my life, too, growing up. Just kind of the whole, like, entertainment, you know, aspect. Dance, sing, perform, all of it.
So some upcoming videos, we should not be surprised if there are elements of all the things that you do included.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, this is probably a good opportunity that to mention that I own Fast Tracks Recording Studio, but I'm also a partner in Shattered Paradigm Records, and that is the label that Sierra is signed to.
And they're out of Santa Barbara, correct?
Out of Santa Barbara, with my partner, Jerry Giordano.
Okay.
Yep. Right. And so I think, when did we sign?
We signed in May.
In May.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
we're just kind of getting our feet wet. Mm-hmm. We're developing a lot of content, you know, a lot of music. Like, we've been in the studio all week.
I was hearing about some 3 new songs coming out on an EP really soon.
Yeah. So we have 4 to 5 new songs that we'll be releasing some of them as singles throughout the rest of this year, and then they'll come out together as an EP in the new year.
And there's a theme. So. There's a theme for this new EP.
Yeah, they're all breakup songs.
Breakup songs.
Yeah.
Really?
So.
little life experience.
Yeah.
Huh? You left some guy back in okay, yeah?
That's right.
Yeah, so
some poor guy, right?
Yeah. Everyone can relate, you know, to breakup songs and heartbreak. And I'm married. And so I was like, but, you know, I've had relationships in the past growing up and stuff. And I was like, if I'm ever going to write about breakups, it's going to have to be like soon before I forget about everything. Because
they're reflective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm never going to break up with my husband, you know. So if I'm going
to
do it, I'm going to have to do it now. Write breakup songs. So that's kind of what started the whole process of it. But, yeah, I'm really excited. We just sent one off for mastering today and I'm like,
we did
freaking out.
It's now so that for an artist, for an artist to say, "Let it go," it's ready to go to mastering.
Yeah.
That's a step of faith to say, "I'm done with the track." Because when we met, I think just yesterday for lunch, that track was not completely done.
You're
right. No, we were still working on it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So talk about wet cement. Now it's off.
Yeah,
it's off, and I'm so excited.
I've developed a little bit of a process of, you know, testing certain stereo systems, you know, for mixes and stuff. And so we were pretty close yesterday.
Yeah.
But in fact,
you listen in like the car and then other systems and you hear different things and but we were able to tweak it and
There's just certain stuff that just you guys know. Like it just starts it pops out on a different like a car stereo or whatever. So we just gave it the old listen and made a couple minor tweaks today and sent it off.
So keep an eye on the website for some new tracks to be released soon.
Oh, yeah.
And then an EP. And then, Sierra, you actually live in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And you come out here to record and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, you're a dual location artist, might be the hip way of saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are the major differences between the folks you connect with there and the people that know you and how it's been so far out here?
Yeah, so I think I'm still, I'm fairly new to this area still. Mm-hmm. Like, we have some shows kind of in the works, still kind of up in the air out here. So that'll really give me more, like, exposure and to start developing some of those, like, relationships. I haven't really been here long enough yet, I feel like.
Right. Right.
But I will say just, like Brent, like...
Mm-hmm.
Your family, like the Spiegels, have just been so open to me and welcoming. Everyone we've talked to, even like having lunch with you yesterday, everybody's just been really encouraging and really excited for me, which I think is really awesome. I don't know if it's just like, you know, California dreaming, you know, people just like support the arts out here a lot. Yeah. And that's something that is growing in Oklahoma quite a bit, especially I think with the school ACM being in the area. It's just like encouraging kids to like do what they love, you know, do what they're good at. And so like the music scene in Oklahoma has been blowing up.
So are you writing songs since you've been out here? Do you see a scenario where the California experience is going to infiltrate into your music? Right?
Oh yeah. So, I came out for NAMM in January and I wrote 3 songs, on the drive from LA to SLO after NAMM. Wrote 3 songs, and they're all going to be on the, not this project, but the next one.
Okay.
So we're like planning out ahead, but they're all very much inspired by my time when I'm out here in California. It's just hard not to be inspired when you come out here, you know?
So you've been able to experience some of the SLO Good Life. What are, besides being in the studio recording and driving to the studio, what are some of the fun times and fun experiences you've had in the Central Coast so far?
I love Avila Beach. Did I say it right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Don't we all?
That's like, I'd like to retire there one day.
Yeah.
You know? It's just this perfect little storybook town. So just like walking down, like walking along that beach side, it's just gorgeous, just perfect. The food is super good here.
I turned them on to Old Port.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Old Port.
My family's favorite.
What a great, that's one of our favorites. Yeah. First place my wife and I ate at as a couple when we visited the Central Coast just before we moved here was the Old Port Inn right there at the end of the dock. That's
so cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, food, the wine, you got wine country out here.
Got wine country.
Super fun.
Got a lot of nice breweries, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just all been really fun. And it's just so gorgeous. Like, we've been going hiking in the mornings. And, like, I'm a certified yoga instructor and personal fitness trainer. So, like, health and fitness is really important to me. But, like, it's not really the most enjoyable weather back home to hike and like be outdoors in.
So when you come so out
when
here,
I come out just, here, it's like,
yeah,
it's just so amazing. Like you're just ready to face the day after you go on your morning hike.
That is so cool. And for listeners, you know, for people that don't know where in the heck San Luis Obispo's at, halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, one of the just one of the most pristine, best places in California. Mm-hmm. We love it here. And that's why we talk about the slow, good life. It's so cool to hear how you've been able to mix with people, experience that. A little bit of home cooking as far as the restaurants, too. A little bit of sample some of the foods with some of the families in the local area.
Oh, yeah. Brent's wife, Carrie, has had me over for dinner a couple of times. Look and it's been really nice, real fun.
Give a shout out to Carrie.
Shout out to Carrie. Thanks for letting me hang.
I want to know something. If someone were to, who's listening to this now, wanted to hear some of your music.
Yeah.
And immediately go online and find it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What would you push them towards? A song either on YouTube or what track or would you want them to hit first?
So I would probably push you towards my YouTube channel, to the Messy Parts music video. I filmed that back home with a local film company, Speak Now Film Company. They did a phenomenal job, and it actually features me playing piano and dancing.
Nice.
So it kind of just shows everything that I love and everything that kind of makes me who I am as an artist in one video. And it's also my favorite song that I've written to date. But then if you're just like, well, I'm driving, I can't really watch a video, I would encourage you to go to Spotify. That's kind of the platform I'm trying to build and grow right now. So Spotify is where you can listen to all of my music, stream it all.
And Ciara, spell your name again for our listeners.
C-I-A-R-A. Brooke, B-R-O-O-K-E.
And they just put that in on Spotify and you come right up?
I come right up.
And YouTube channel also.
And the website. And in fact, if you want to go there and subscribe to updates, you can receive news and updates. There's a spot on the website where you can do that as well. Yeah.
For
it,
sure.
It is out there on all the major platforms, though. You know, Google Play and iTunes and all that kind of stuff, too.
Amazon Music.
Now,
all places.
Yeah. Your time in the studio with Brent at Fast Tracks Recording Studio right here in San Luis Obispo, have you been able to play? I know Brent brought the guitar, and we're hoping to hear some music in a little bit, but have you been able to play in the studio with some other local musicians that Brent has brought in?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. I like the not yet because you know some really talented folks. And my brain, after hearing your voice and some of the recordings so far, not the new stuff, but the Diva record, I just immediately started going to people I know in this area and going, oh my gosh, we got to hear Ciara with. And so I could fill in three or four. We're really looking forward to some of those collaborations, Ciara.
Yeah, we're open.
Let's do
we're open to it. We've got something that's kind of been in the hopper with Domestic Tiger. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, you know, good friends of mine. Yeah. They're awesome.
Maybe
great
some,
musicians.
Some pairing possibility.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe
please.
A. We were thinking maybe a cover.
Cover, yeah.
And there's talk about doing some community exposure shows and things. So we'll have to keep posted on the website and, of course, on the Fast Tracks Recording Studio website also. Mm-hmm. So not yet. You've got some musicians in mind. This will be exciting to see.
Yeah. Hey, I want to hear a little bit about the studio, Brett, because Fast Tracks with an X, slow.com.
Yeah.
For our listeners that don't know, how long you been in the area?
My whole life.
Well, how long has the studio been?
Studio was built when I still had the band, the Spiegel Brothers band going on, right? And that was when I was a junior in high school. So that was 95, we built the studio. Prior to that, like I was running the studio out of my parents' garage, like, and I was doing little, you know, I mean, just recording, you know, high school bands and whatnot and having a great time. And then gigging with my band and stuff on the weekends. And then I talked the family into carving out some space in a family-owned commercial building, which is where I'm still at. And that's out on, it's kind of in the commercial area of San Luis Obispo, out by the Graduate.
Okay, yeah. Off Industrial.
Off Industrial, okay. And, yeah, so we, it's seen a lot of changes, equipment, technology changes, you know what I mean? I've started out on ADATs. You know, did a little bit of recording with some of the other local studios. You know, shout out to Rick Sutton.
Oh yeah,
Sutton Sound. Unfortunately, he's not
Just retired opened, recently.
Yeah, he just retired. Good,
great guy.
Good for Rick.
Yeah.
But I've got, that was my first recording experience was on, you know, 2-inch reel-to-reel tape and with Rick, and he's just awesome. And, you know, as I realized that it was the first time I've been in the studio that I realized I wanted to be on Rick's side of the glass, you know.
Wow.
And so, I had the studio pretty pumped up, like as I was going through junior college, and then I got accepted to Poly and went through Poly, graduated construction management, ended up doing that and doing the studio stuff on the side until about, I guess it's been 6 years now that I've been doing it full time. So, but it's been around, the studio's been around for a long time. Yeah.
How many artists have you recorded over the years and projects have you put out? I mean, you've been around the area for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, a well-known studio around here.
Just in the last 6 years, I've got at least 150 clients that, you know, everything from a little something, audio editing or whatever, all the way up to, you know, full-length album projects and whatnot.
Including rap and hip-hop. Let's get the record right there, man.
Yeah, I'd have to say that my genres are really like, you know, rock, hip-hop, and pop. Yeah.
And this is the first excursion from somebody from Oklahoma coming out here to Cali,
I was just, you know, when I heard her music, I was just really inspired about, like, the writing and and her vocal capabilities. I didn't know at that time that, you know, she was kind of the whole package with the dancing and and even a little bit of, like, commercial, like, television experience and stuff. And so we had a good long time to get to know one another when we were doing the Diva Diaries record. And then, like Sarah was saying, invited her to NAMM. You know, next thing we know, we were kind of hitting it off and just really enjoyed working together. I think mostly because we come from a very similar place. Like, I was a child entertainer, you know, and Sierra was even, I didn't think that there was anybody that had started music any younger than I did. Cause my first gig was in a bar and I think I was still in junior high.
Wow.
And, actually, no. Yeah. I think I was 12 or 13 and, you know, my brothers are 3 years younger than me. So, It's always a funny thing watching my brother drum because you couldn't see a drummer. All you saw every now and then was some sticks, you know.
Like, you were the Spiegels, right?
The Spiegel Brothers band.
So were you pop? I mean,
we started out as like an oldies rock.
Okay.
We did a lot of like Beach Boys stuff. Oh, we've always sort of focused on a lot of harmony stuff.
Okay.
And then country just saw this huge boom right in the 90s. And that just became really appealing because, you know, it kind of blend. My dad was also in the band, and so it was kind of a happy medium between, you know, rock and roll, which is kind of where my heart was, and then oldies, right? And one of the first songs that we did was by the Kentucky Headhunters, right? Let's All Go Down to Dumas Walker, right?
Cool,
and like,
cool.
And dude, I just listened to them again recently, and they're a pretty heavy band,
they are.
You know?
Yep.
So that's kind of how we got into country, and then, you know, all the while I was doing some recording for people, and I think that, you know, country was a great genre for me to get a lot of producer experience because it's so crafted, you know. So having that experience is what I think made the pop music thing so appealing to me.
And I think you having that experience you mentioned, then looking at Sierra, an opportunity for her to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you guys, even though you lived here, you had to carve a lot of new roads. Mm-hmm. Back at a time when there was no YouTube, there was no Facebook.
That's true.
There were postcards, phone calls, faxes, maybe.
Mm-hmm. No, there's
So we're talking
definitely faxes.
So
yeah.
We're talking like right now in the podcast. This is going out live through I don't know. Is it YouTube or is it Instagram?
This is Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're going out live. None of that stuff. And you guys carved, and of course now we've got this technology popping the camera all over the place. And so, but the similarities are, you were young.
Mm-hmm.
You were working with your family. You were territorial in the sense you were regional. You were all over California.
Right.
You've already done that in Sierra and Oklahoma, right? You've traveled quite a bit in Oklahoma.
Yeah. I've been doing this full time for coming up on about 2 years. And so I've been able to gig a lot and kind of build a fan base back home. And so... had to kind of do all that work out there, and now we're trying to do it out here too. So,
and so to come out to California is replicating, but in a different way. and cutting some new avenues, working with new people. Mm-hmm. So not just the recording, there's the gigging and mm-hmm. the live performances.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah. Yeah. The live performances, the shows, is probably my favorite part of what I do. I love songwriting. I love recording and creating the tracks. But, like, those live shows, that's where you, like, make the connections with an audience. That's where you, like, give people entertainment. And, like, you see the joy on their faces and, like, the experience they're having. That's just what kind of ties it all up together in, like, a big pretty bow for me.
Did you get, growing up or in the recent past 5-10 years, did you get to see a few artists live besides Britney Spears that had an impact on you?
Yeah, Britney Spears was my first concert.
Okay. For the record.
Yeah. We were, like, back behind the stage, so we didn't really actually see her all but, like, once. You know, the nosebleed tickets way up in the back, but my grandma made me a Britney Spears costume. So I wore that whole nine yards.
Big night out. Big night out.
But I honestly, I mean, I grew up going to a lot of Christian-based concerts, you know, stuff like that. One of my favorite bands is Switchfoot. I'm just, like, John Foreman, I think, is, like, one of the most incredible songwriters. And so I've seen them several times. But then, like, most recently, I've started getting into going to concerts more. And so, like, I saw The Killers recently.
Yeah.
The Killers are me and my brother and my dad's, like, pump-up band. We listen to them on the way to gigs. And then I saw Ali and AJ this year. They are, like, I grew up watching their Disney Channel movies.
They're still doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I grew up watching their Disney Channel movies, and then they came out with a new album, and it, like, slams, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Little me was just going girl crazy.
It slams, you guys.
Yeah.
You got to get that, right?
Yeah.
It slams.
It slams.
All right.
So, yeah, I've started going to more concerts. My mom texted me today and told me my brother wants to go see Jonas Brothers with me. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That'd be cool.
But when you go... some of these artists may be your favorite, some not, but just to go see
just a
show of what an artist does.
Yeah.
As an artist is fascinating. I've heard people mm-hmm. talk about going to shows they didn't particularly, they got tickets, somebody took them, and that they respected the way that person performed, the way they hit the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor, have you seen Taylor Swift live?
No.
Not yet.
I'm very sad about that.
Okay. I haven't either. We're both dependent on the Marshall of Rock to get his tickets.
Taylor. Come on, hook it up, Taylor.
Yes, please. Yeah, no, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think it's just because, like, I've been to concerts where maybe, like, the genre isn't my preference, but, like, there's just something about live music that is so special.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can enjoy it even if it's not
your
cup of tea.
I think,
you know,
that's the job for the record producer to get tickets to Taylor Swift. I think that goes with the whole package here.
Get on
now
it.
I'm really going to get in trouble.
Get on it.
I agree.
We'll have to set that up. This,
you know,
yeah.
Can I just interject something really quick? So one of the appealing things about working with you is that you understand record production, mm-hmm. the production of music, right? And so I feel like a lot of your influences aren't just for that particular artist. It's the production value that all went in to making that music. Mm-hmm. And as I've kind of broken into this whole pop genre thing, it is really difficult technical music, right?
Yeah.
And there are no loose ends. Everything is tight.
Yeah.
And transitions sound clean. And the general public can tell if you've missed, if you've fallen down on your editing job.
So this is really challenging to you, Brett?
Well, it's definitely challenging, sure, to me, because I would say that Sierra has more experience as far as listening to pop music and, you know, and knowing what she likes, you know, and so she's brought a lot of really great sounding records, regardless of the artist, a lot of really great sounding records to me, and said, hey, can we attempt to do something like This Is My Vision? You know, and I see the value in those, you know, those example. She's really good about giving me example, you know, reference tracks and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and
creating
it's been very educational for me.
Creating a dynamic hook feel to
pop song is, like you said, it's a craft. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's why there's not a whole lot of producers out there, and a lot of, you know, or you'll see some that'll be the go-to guy for a certain period of time. You know, I remember, you know, and I always prided myself for when I programmed Top 40 stations. I always thought I could hear a hit, right?
Sure.
And I mean, I still love the Backstreet Boys. I mean,
totally.
Like, NSYNC. Those songs are so hook filled.
Oh man!
And I mean, it's great pop music.
They give you what you want.
Exactly.
They don't hold anything back.
And look at the careers that some of those artists went on to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So
you mentioned the Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
I mean, the great thing about them is that, you know, they went off and did their own thing for a little while. Now they're back together, and they went right to the top of the charts again with great hook-filled songs.
For sure, yeah.
I was excited, Sarah, when we met yesterday for lunch, had a bite to eat, you, me, and Brent, and we were able to talk about music in general. And I said, do you do any covers? And you lit right up. And you said, yes, I do. Well, occasionally an artist is a little threatened by that. Mm-hmm. You understood right off the bat that not only the value of listening, it's obvious, to other artists, but also doing some of their songs.
Yeah.
And for the audience to get, you know, to understand that you understand. And then of course you roll out some of your music, and the fact that you understand what some of they like, they're willing, and it may not be a totally conscious thing, but it happens. They're willing to go, I want to hear what Sierra does, I heard what she did, I want to hear what you do.
Yeah,
that's a powerful transition, and I'm looking forward to hearing some of that live.
So my shows, you know, we can do like a 2-hour set at some of these venues, and I don't have enough original music yet to fill that. And so we do a lot of covers. And I love doing covers because the audience knows them. Like, that's what's great about pop music, too. Even if you're not a pop music fan, like, you've heard the songs I'm doing. You've heard them on the radio at some point. You've heard them on TV, YouTube. And so you can sing along. Like, you can enjoy it, even if it's not your preferred style. Or, like, I don't like pop music. I look out and I see you singing to the song, you know, because you know it. And so I think pop music's kind of unifying in that sense. Uh-huh. It's like you can come and have a great time to this, regardless. And so I'm really excited to have this new original music to start adding some more of my own stuff into it. And then, you know, hopefully people are singing my own stuff out. And that started to happen in some of those Oklahoma shows. And it's just, it's the most amazing thing, looking out and seeing a little girl, you know, sing along to your song.
So if you're listening to this podcast, we're talking today at Slow Talk Studio on the Slow Good Life with Sierra Brooke, and also record producer, recording engineer, and good friend Brett Spiegel with Fast Tracks Recording Studio. And this has been very lively here in the not only the influences, your stories. What about something, Sierra, that about you as an artist that people may not know yet? Maybe an instrument you'd like to explore, or a genre of music that you want to step into? Kind of caught you off guard with that question, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something you guys, okay. I think something that I'm still even learning is like what my sound is as an artist. And so like this new stuff that's coming out, it sounds pretty different from my last record. And I think like I'm also a new artist, you know, and I think part of your journey as an artist is like finding your sound. And you know, I think your sound changes. And so,
and that's okay.
Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah. And that can be kind of daunting sometimes, 'cause you know, you want to be real, you want to be authentic, and you're like, well, am I? Like, I hope I am. And I can confidently say with like this new stuff that I am, it does sound different. It is.
I'd say
That's an asset. Yeah. You look at artists like Taylor and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
They're completely different now from when they first got into the biz. Right. You know?
I would be remiss if we did not hear some of this new music. We want to play a song or two live. I think we got a little bit of time for at least one.
Cool.
And we would really, we're going to have Brent accompany you on guitar.
Yeah.
And, all right. And Brent, you got enough mic on that guitar there, Matt?
I think so.
Okay. You guys can tell me. Sierra, what song are you going to sing for us today?
I think we're going to do Diva Diaries first.
Okay.
Yeah, we did it acoustic at a open mic last time I was here.
And it's from your latest release, Diva Diaries, the title cut, right?
Yes, title cut. You can stream it everywhere. There's a music video out on YouTube, so yeah.
Welcome to my world. I'm the perfect definition of a girly girl. And give me all the glitter, give me all the pearls, give me all the diamonds.
Diaries.
The Diaries.
She can sing, huh?
Gosh, that was excellent.
Absolutely. You have a unique style. I mean, it's I can see why Brett wanted to you know, unite with you on some music projects, because you definitely have a unique style.
I don't think
it's strictly just pop, though. I mean, that's it's got universal appeal to
it. Yes,
thank you.
In fact, I was speaking yesterday. I didn't even I had heard this song, the full instrumentation version. I love the stripped down version just as well. This is so good.
Yeah.
And I mentioned an artist named Odetta, and she had a song called I Got to Be Me. It's funny how when we had lunch, I remembered part of the Diva Diaries, that vibe, and related it. And I'm right with you, Craig. Her music transcends just a pop category. That stripped down version was really rich and very authentic. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thanks.
Wow. So where do you see yourself, say, 10 years from now? Where do you want to be?
On a yacht. Super Bowl halftime show.
On a what?
On a yacht?
Yeah.
Okay.
Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh. Is the yacht called the Diva Diaries?
Hit up Jay-Z right now. You can see he's got a deal going with the NFL.
That's it. That's it. That's it. It's never too early, right?
Never
start.
Too early.
Start.
I would totally name a yacht Diva Diaries.
Oh, yeah,
I wouldn't
for sure.
I wouldn't even think twice about it.
I love it.
Let's do it.
When you get the yacht, would you invite the Slow
Absolutely.
Talk guys
Oh,
back?
For yeah. sure.
The more the merrier.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun today on the Slow Good Life with Craig Marshall, James Davis, interviewing...
Ciara Brooke.
There we go. Ciara Brooke.
Sierra.
I almost said it backwards. Ciara Brooke.
Sierra.
And
Sierra
for our listeners, Brooke. Again, yeah. spell right. it once more.
C-I-A-R-A... B-R-O-O-K-E.
.com.
And
Brett Spiegel with Fast Tracks Recordings to a San Luis Obispo. Brett, thank you so much.
You bet. And Jerry Giordano, my partner, Shatter Paradigm Records. Without him,
thank you,
a lot
Jerry.
Of this would be hard
Give
to do.
Give a shout out to Shatter Paradigm Records.
Absolutely, yeah.
And check that out, shatterparadigm.com?
Shatteredparadigmrecords.com.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right. Make sure you check out Sierra on Facebook, Twitter, SierraBrooke.com, Instagram, Spotify, and everywhere else
YouTube.
You can find.
YouTube
as well.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right.
This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Shattered Paradigm Records. Check them out at shatteredparadigmrecords.com and find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And give them a call at 805-679-1027. Shattered Paradigm Records.